the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah God, abide here, and we are standing in God's presence on holy ground. Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Him, Lord Jesus, now. For we are standing in God's presence on holy ground. In His presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. And if you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for we are standing on holy ground. Yes, we are standing. So let us praise Him, Lord Jesus, now. For we are standing in God's presence.
First of all, I just want to say thank you for being here tonight. I'm always excited to get back into the house of God.
Amen.
And I was just sitting there and I've been thinking about Brother Jeremiah's message about that transformation power.
Yeah.
And I want God to have that power to transform me any way He wants me to.
Yeah.
And I've been having a song. I told my mom it was on my heart, but I was going to ask Sister Courtney to sing it because I didn't have a good voice. But I was like, if it's on your heart, then you sing it.
Yeah.
And she was good enough to practice it and learn it. My dad said he'd sing with me, but I just, it's my testimony because I want to be more available to God.
Amen.
I want him to use me any way that he wants to use me. I know that one day that transformation power is going to physically transform my body, but until that day, I just want him to transform me into any way he can use me. So
amen.
I'm just going to sing that.
Amen. Song. What's the name of the song, Johanna?
Lord, I'm Available. I'm
Available. Oh, my. Yes. I love that.
Out to man to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cry of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? You need my voice to speak to your, to sing your praises to those who've never heard. But with my eyes I see your need, availability. I see hearts that have been broken, so many people to be free. Lord, I'm available to you. My will to give to you. I'll do what just you say to do. Lord, show someone to way and enable me to say, my storage is empty, and I am available to you.
Now I'm
giving back to you all the tools you gave to me. My hands, my ears, my voice, my eyes, so use them as you please. I have emptied out my cup so that you can fill me up. Now I'm free. I want to be more available to you. I'm available to you. Will I give to you? I'll do what you say to you, me Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available. Storage is empty, and I am available to you. Amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We're going to sing a song.
You want to get it to Vegas, sir?
No.
Vegas. Stand up so we can see, bub.
I'm so happy to be here because there's this one spot on my arm that I have like a ton of blisters on, and I've been praying for that to heal. And after I've been praying a lot, it has healed. And
well,
And there's like there's no more red spots on it, and I'm happy that that happened because it really itched a lot.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Come on. Amen. He's hilarious.
Well, we prepared a little something tonight. This is our last service with our pastor before he goes to India, and I love that song, Being Available. You know, I said a guy was talking to the Lord, and you know, it's wonderful to talk to him all the time. And I said, you know, people make New Year's resolutions. And I said, Lord, I see this, I see that, I see that. I said, don't give me, I'm not waiting for the whole year. How about just today? So.
And so I'm going to say a few words myself. So this song, I heard it on the radio, and I was on my way to ran in, I said, this is it, this is it, this is the song that I would like to sing. And so we've been working on it, and so I'm going to do my best, but like Brother Jeremiah said, it's all in God's time, and he's transforming, and I know that, but as Brother Rosaldo said, it's looking out of God's eyes, not mine.
Right.
And when you do that, you see it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to stop talking so I can see. otherwise, I won't get it out. So pray for saints. It's from the heart, though.
I know that.
And the song is I Believe. And it is my testimony.
Amen.
Our testimony. From the beginning. Been unchanging.
Yes,
Lord. Age to age you stay.
Uh-huh.
Constant you remain. Every mystery. The questions I've carried.
Yes, Lord.
Are safe within your will. So I trust you. Even still, I
believe you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you will do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you already made a way. So I'm running through parted ways straight to you.
You are always faithful. Jesus, you're for me. Holding me steady.
Amen.
Every word you speak is a promise that you'll keep. This firm foundation cannot be shaken.
Amen, amen.
My God, you'll never fail. Never once, you never will.
I believe you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. So I'm running through parted ways straight to you. You are always faithful.
I have been healed, and every promise that you rose again in victory, and that same power lives in me. I'm born again, and I've been made free. I believe that the gates of hell have not prevailed. Your church is still alive and well. The gospel truth I live to tell. I believe that one day soon you'll split the sky. You're coming for a spotless bride. Until my faith has been made sight. I believe
you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. So I'm running through parted ways straight to you. You are always faithful. And on what day I'll run my race, I'll finally see you face to face. And nothing could separate. I believe I'll join with every tribe and tongue
and bow before the Lamb of God,
singing holy, 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 holy. I believe.
Amen. I see you, Brother Seth. Real quick, let me get announcements out of the way. So, Sunday morning, Pastor's leaving for India. And I was thinking we could all pray for him.
Yeah.
Come up and pray for him tonight before we leave. And take all the prayer you can get. And then after he gets, right when he gets back, I think January 31st through February 2nd, Bro Jay and Jeremiah are going to San Diego. Then February 9th, we got a fellowship at the main house, and a 22nd at my house. So I'm going to sing All Hail King Jesus after you. Come on up.
I appreciate this body so much, and
that song was beautiful.
Yes, you got to give me a second. I mean, this is a safe place. You know, this is this is home. This is home. But I tell you what, that talking about that transformation, you know, I get a kick out of it because you know that natural transformation, you know, water turns to ice, but you know what, it changes back.
Yeah.
But God's transformation. You change, you'll never be the same.
Never be the same.
Never be the same. You know, it's funny talking about, I love that story of the woman at the well. You know, she had so much not going for her. Such a mess. But you know what? He says if you drink, you'll drink this water.
You'll never thirst again.
Uh-uh. Right. You'll be transformed. Now, I love that because you know what? When he makes a promise, he will keep it. He said all things. Will fall, heaven and earth, every man's word is a lie, except for what I say. You know, that transformation power is in the bride. You know, I find, you know, sometimes, you know, you look and you miss the small things. And I love the small things. Brother right there talking about that rash. That rash is healed. Well, you know, that naturally, like, well, if you give a rash long enough and quit scratching, it's going to heal itself. You limit God.
Yeah,
I don't want to put limits on God.
No.
You know what? If God can heal a rash, and he can give you two livers, God can touch anything. He can move any situation out of your way. He says if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and I was holding a mustard seed today while I was cooking, and you know what? That is a very small thing. If you just had a little bit of faith, You'd be transformed.
Yeah.
You'd be transformed.
Right.
You'd be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And just not just changed from one place to another, but a completely different creature. You know, that's what I love about this, is you're not just getting from water to ice, changing forms. You're changing every single time you come in. You should be changing. You should be changing from the moment that you walked in that door. If you haven't changed, are you listening?
Yeah.
You should have been touched by the songs. You've been touched by seeing your brothers and your sisters coming in. You should be changed. They shouldn't just be just a, well, I guess I'm waiting for a body change. You should change every single time God talks to you. Because when God talks to you, that change comes. You get a little more revelation, a little bit more of a saying. That whole entire idea of the rapture is just going to be a revelation. You're going to be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. You've blinked so many times that you've come in here. And in just that moment, you'll be changed.
Yep.
And you'll go with that whole entire rapture, just like we went with the whole entire thing of the transformation.
Yeah.
You know, he read Romans 12. I'd never read it like that before in my life. I almost wanted to read it again. I love that scripture.
Yeah.
Romans is quickly becoming a very powerful book. Because you know what? You can use these tools. And you make a choice. You make a choice. Mm-hmm. Really, it comes down to the choices you make. You make a choice whether you're going to let the devil fight you, because you have a choice if you're going to wake up and be transformed. You can transform your day. You can transform your atmosphere. You can walk in here and you can be positive. You can walk the talk. You can carry yourself. I was talking about being the light of the world. You know, the reasons why they say, you know, you should look like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because how are they going to know to come to you if you don't look the part? You know, how are you going to go to a personal trainer at the gym if they don't look the part?
Right.
If they don't look buff, if they don't look, if they don't lift weight, if they look out of shape, you're going to lose some confidence in them.
Yeah.
I mean, they may show you some stuff as you get to know them, but you need to look the part.
Yeah.
And I see that because, you know, we have a balance on, and I appreciate that balance, but I really, really, really love them. I really love, because I don't want to put any limits on God. If God can heal rashes, I love it. By his stripes, there's no limit to it.
Yeah.
Why are you going to put limits on God?
Yeah.
And the only limits you're placing on God are the ones that you placed on him. He says, I am all that you want me to be.
Yeah.
So what do you want? What do you want? It's like you have a checkbook. You have unlimited funds.
Just
what are you going to do with it? Like, oh, I'm so poor. I'm like, well, you made the choice to be poor.
Yeah.
I don't want to be spiritually poor.
No.
I don't want to be emotionally poor.
Right.
I don't want to be physically poor.
No.
I have every single choice that, you know what, I'm an overcomer. He says, what shall separate me from the love?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I have, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one. There should be nothing that holds me down. And I tell you what, that transforms me. It transforms me mentally. It transforms me spiritually. I'm
mm-hmm.
renewed.
I'm
not just changed. Because, you know, I can change clothes. I am, you know, to transform something, if you listen about that word, that means you have been, you changed.
Yeah.
Not just a change of clothes, but I'm talking, you are a new creature.
Yeah.
So I am so thankful for this body. I'm thankful that I got to see my loved ones one more time.
Amen.
Because this, on this side, this is my loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones I look forward to, these smiling faces. He said, this is the year of being a brotherly keeper. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to come in here if I have to every single time and encourage you and to lift you up until we're out of here, until we make that last transformation.
Yeah.
We'll be transformed one more time, and I won't be content until I wake in his likeness. So I am so thankful for this message. I'm so thankful that I have one more chance to come in here, and I don't want to take anything for granted. Any sort of, you know what, I'm glad that rash is healed. Amen. If that rash can heal, I'm serious. If that rash can be healed, so can cancer. So, I mean, you got to look at this. Lazarus was raised, but you know what? Lazarus still died. He still died. Death will be cured.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
We're going to have a wedding supper, a rapture. This is not something that's just going to be, well, I guess we'll wait for it. I want the time now. I want to write that check. I want to cash that check. I don't want to just limit God because, well, Lord, if it's your will, you know, I am living in his fullness. I am so thankful for this message. I am so thankful that I have an understanding, an ear to hear. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen. Brother Schuyler, we have one more announcement. That's okay. So Thursday, we're going to be doing musicians practice tomorrow. But at that practice, if you're part of the sound room technicians, please show up at that practice so we can work on some stuff as well. And we're actually going to continue that schedule indefinitely until we get it fixed up. So if you're a sound room technician, plan on being at all the musicians practice on Thursday.
It's good to see the Coveys tonight.
Amen.
God bless you. They brought a preacher with him. I see him back there. God bless you, brother. So I'm going to start this song, and you can start heading up whenever you want.
Amen.
We're going to sing All Hail King Jesus.
Key of D. Brother Covey. Brother Covey will introduce him.
Yes. Yeah.
May be seated if you like. Well, I tell you, you just feel better coming to church. I tell you, you come in kind of dragging and feeling down, but it's only up from here, you know, no matter how you look at it. Yeah, God has just been so good. He's a real good director. He can put you right where you want to be at the right time, at the right place. And you know, we always feel like we're running late, but really we're not. If our steps are ordained, we're always on time too. So, you know, the Lord led me one day to a grocery store. And I met a man. And he looked at me and we talked for a little bit. And he said, I think this is a divine intervention. And I had to agree because of the conversation was so good. And that brother, I went and visited him at his church, and he's came with me several times, you know. And I think yesterday we broke a record. I called him on the phone to invite him here tonight, and we talked for 2 hours and 32 minutes. No, can you imagine the conversation? Because it was an eternal conversation. It was all about the Word of God and about what's going on in the churches today. And so I invited him, and he's here right tonight, sitting there with my brother Mike. His name's Brother Barney Pittman. Very good to have you here. You know, I invited a bunch of people here tonight. And sometimes I had half of them come. And but sometimes your testimony sometimes can get them a little thirsty. And then they want to come and see, hey, what's Brother Covey out there seeing and hearing? And then a real special person came tonight, my daughter. And my... And then even though she's special to me, she brought two that might be a little more special. You know, she brought my granddaughter, my grandson. And, yeah, what a blessing. So, and, you know, I look at them and I see miracle after miracle after miracle. We're all sitting in church today because the Lord saved my dad back in the late 60s. He raised us up in the way we should go. And so we felt like we departed, but really he always had us in his hand, you know. So let's sing a little song. Get a little nervous, and sometimes I just got to feel better. And sometimes singing makes you feel good. There's a song, it's actually called Feeling So Much Better. Yeah. And the devil don't like it when you're feeling better and talking about this good old way. No. Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. About this good old way. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. You know, just singing that song is, you know, let's go on talking about the Lord. And there, me and Brother Barney, we went on and on talking about the Lord. And the devil didn't like it because we're here in the house tonight. Just over that conversation, we're going to be sitting around an eternal word. It's a changing word. And you know where it changes us to? From glory unto glory. We're like that water. We were water. We might get froze in this world, but the fire of the Word of God heats us up, and we turn right back to what we already was. There's a change, but there's not a change, you know. So I'm thankful for the testimonies, the family that sang. That was a blessing. The song, Sister Mel, oh my, I was thrilled. I was about to cry. I was like, wow, you know. But when you think about what God does for you, it changes everything. And to see you come here a while back and sell your house and because you felt a desire to come hear the Word of God, you know, that's a big change. And when you step out on faith, you never fall. Step out on doubt, see what happens. Man, every time. You can be seated if you like. I know we get excited, and next thing you know, we're on our feet. We sit down, we get excited, we get on our feet again. And you know, I was hearing a preacher the other day tell a story, and I knew of these preachers, and they were actually back. They were friends of Brother Branham. So they were around having lunches with him and things and hearing some good conversations. Could you imagine sitting around Brother Branham and hearing some of these stories and miracles that took place? And one of the brothers, his name was Brother J.C. Hamilton, and he had a church out in out there, Waynesville area. What's that little town? I can't think of it now. I thought I might have wrote it down, but a little church out there, Harveysburg is where it is, Harveysburg, out there around Corwin and Caesars Creek area. And that little church has been there for years and years. And so this preacher, Brother Hamilton, he is the grandfather to Brother Steve Hamilton over here in Springboro that pastors a church. So anyways, and I don't know if we all know Mike Sievert, Brother Mike Sievert. Well, his dad was friends with Brother Hamilton, and his name was Manly Sievert. And so Manly Sievert, Brother Sievert's dad, he was very sick and very down in his back. And if you ever had back pain, wow, and hardly walk and things. And this was back in the good old days. And Brother Hamilton, he was fasting for 3 days. And he had this old fire that he had built, and it was just all ashes, so it's called like an ash heap. He fasted for 3 days and prayed over that ash heap. And he was getting ready to have a revival meeting that weekend. And so after he got done fasting those 3 days and he's preparing for that message, the Lord just came down to him and said, when you go into that church to preach, get there early and get the oil and go to the second pew on the right here and anoint that pew with oil and you say a prayer. And so he did it. He got there early, anointed that pew with oil, and he got up there to start to preach. And the people started piling in. And Brother Manly Sievert come walking in. What pew you think he sat in? He sat in that second pew that had been anointed by oil and crawled in there just about that bad back. And by the end of that service, he was probably jumping and shouting, running the aisles. And but see what God can do if you just seek him? He's got the answers. Amen. Seek him. And when he gives you instruction, just do it. Just do it, you know, because Father does know best. He knows best. I'm so thankful to be here tonight, and I'm glad I just got a little pressure on me. You know, I look back at that preacher and Brother Nick, God has brought him. He's fellowshipping today, and it's amazing. You know, even if you're raised in the world and don't even have godly parents, if God sees you, and you're one of his, he's going to bring you. He's going to bring you in. And I like, my testimony is, I was 3 days old in a tent revival, you know, and I grew up in church. But some people, it just takes meeting the right people that God puts in your path. And before you know it, Brother Nick back here, he found out about the message. But there's not a lot of people out there just walking around that his message believers. And he moved. When he moved, he found a house, and just so happened I know the guy he bought the house from, and he was going to church with me. He was a message believer. And then somehow they struck up conversation, and he mentioned something about it, and he goes, that's you believe that way? Well, good. Next thing you know, now they're sitting on the same pew almost at church. You know, and he bought the house from him. So, but God has his way. And, but I'm very thankful to be here tonight. And you don't know it yet, but you're going to be blessed. Yeah, you're going to hear something that you can take out of here. And it's eternal life. These words are eternal. And if someone would just take it from you and use it, it'd be amazing. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know if it was my daughter, but it was either me or her, me and her, and or me and my son. And we were in we were in Lowe's, and we were back in this aisle, and there was this older gentleman, And you could tell he was real gray, and he didn't look real healthy. And before you know it, we just start talking, and I think Caitlin might have been 10 years old, might have been my son, but they were little, and we start talking. Next thing you know, that presence comes down. And we talk, and that man just started just getting overwhelmed by that presence. And he said, by the way, I've got cancer, and I'm really sick. And I started talking to him about faith, and that faith just started to build. And the next thing you know, we could just feel just God himself right there, and you could just see it was touching the man. And all at once, it got to that climax of, would you like me to pray for you? And I looked at that man, and I mean, I'd never probably witnessed that strong in my life and felt such a presence. And I said, sir, I said, God could heal you right here and now, right here in this aisle. And I believed it with all my heart, and I was just expecting to see it. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? And he looks at me, and under that inspiration, and he said, I think I'll pass. You know, I've heard about this God thing, but, you know, I just don't think that's for me. And it's like a lightning bolt came down and just crushed that whole presence. And that presence was the very thing that could have healed him. And then he could have thought, well, wow, what was that presence that healed me? I want to know more. And he reminded me just a little bit of like the rich young ruler. He walked away. Heavy-hearted, but he walked away, and that man walked away with cancer when he could have walked away with a new body, you know, an eternal body. But anyway, that presence is coming down here right now. So I think it's time for the word. Let's all stand. Let's sing that song, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. Yes. Do you feel that presence tonight? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Remember the king. Ask for only what a king can give you. Yes. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Just as the preacher starts to come, let's sing it one more time without any music, and let's just raise our voices. And those of you that want to be prepared to be a sanctuary that doesn't hold the world, but it holds God, just lift your hands and let's just sing it, not like we mean it, but because we mean it. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. One more time. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Amen, amen. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful song. What a beautiful heart's cry. Be a sanctuary. Think about the weight of those words, that an eternal God would choose to live in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it's such a great, great honor to be here. I've been trying to get here for like 9 months now. The last time I tried, my wife went into labor, I think, something like that. I don't remember if I was sick or whatever happened, but there's kind of a joke. It's kind of funny. Every time I try to come here, my wife is pregnant. And my wife really wanted to be here tonight, but she's pregnant. We just had our little boy. It's been eight months ago. Yeah, I think he's 8 months now. His name's Benaiah. So one of these days, Lord willing, we'll all stop up and visit you guys. But yeah, she gives her greetings and God bless you all. And such a great, sweet atmosphere. That song was anointed. That testimony was very inspired. Praise the Lord. So let's just go to the author before we go to his word, and let's just bow our heads and our hearts to him. Oh, Lord, we thank you for such a great opportunity, Lord, to gather in this building and to be a sanctuary, Lord, to house you. And we just give you the highest honor and the highest praises, Lord, that you'd come amongst your people and you'd help us and you'd anoint us, Lord, and just like the pond lily, Lord, you'd strike something in us and you'd bring us up into another atmosphere, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your mighty works and your mighty powers in our life, Lord Jesus. Today we stand here just as men, as women, as just people, Lord, and we just ask that you just help this flesh to get out of the way, Lord, and that you just speak, Lord, and you just help your people, Lord. Let there be a pull on their hearts and help me to get out of the way, Lord. If possible, Lord, just set me in the corner somewhere. Lord, you put something on my heart, but take control, Lord Jesus. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we thank you and we ask all these things in your mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll open the scriptures. We'll open to Revelation 1, 17 to 18. Revelation 1, 17 to 18. The Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." And if I were to take a title tonight, I titled this, Fear Not. I want to look at that and focus on that, Fear Not. And I want to look at why. He took the keys of hell and of death. Amen. And you may have your seats. And so Jesus speaking in that scripture, we know the first chapter is him speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he's showing him who he's been all along. Amen.
the one who's been called Jehovah, and the one who's been called the Almighty God, and the Everlasting Father, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, amen? And he revealed himself as Jesus Christ, amen? And he was saying, I have the keys of hell and of death. And Brother Branham would say, in The Key to the Door, in 62, he said, any key cannot unlock no door until it's used by a hand. It's got to have something to use the key. The key in itself cannot use itself. It's got to have something to yield the key. And Brother Branham would say in Can We See Jesus, he said, so that's the way divine healing is. He said it's based not upon some emotion, not upon some shaking or something of that type. Not upon anything, but accepting what God promised you. And Jesus died that you may have it. And no one can properly and clearly preach the gospel without preaching divine healing. He said, you just can't do it, for sickness is an attribute of sin. And you can't deal with sickness without dealing with sin, because sickness came as an attribute of sin. And then he would go on to say, before we had any sickness, we had no sin. But when we got sin, sickness followed it. You have to deal with both together. And he said, may I say it like this? He said, if a big animal had his paw in my side and he was scratching and clawing at my side and bothering me, he said, but if it was just the paw, he said, tearing out his ribs, he said, all he would have to do is knock him on the head. He wouldn't have to just cut his paw off. Just deal with it at the source. Amen? When you kill sin, you kill every attribute that follows it. Amen? And in studying the book of Revelations, we see the enemy exposed by the power of God. Amen? But to the believer, what we see in the book of Revelation is more than just an exposure of Satan's deceptions. Amen? The beginning of the book, it would show that Satan lost something. And that's what we want to focus on. Amen? And Brother Branham would say in the fourth seal, he's talking about the pale horse rider, if you remember. And his name was called Death. And he didn't have a name up to that time, but when he became the pale horse rider and sat on him, he became that which was called Death. Amen? Now he's got a name. Amen? And Brother Branham, again in the fourth seal, he talked about how there were 68 million put to death for protesting that first Roman church. Amen? 68 million died protesting that Roman church. Now he said, no wonder he could impersonate himself in that name called Death. He said he sure was. That red horse was a second movement after that white horse. And the Bible says that after that white horse, the man that sat on him was given a crown. Amen? And then we find that red horse, he began his ride, and it said he was given a sword. Amen? And the reason he was given a sword was because he had more power now. He had more power behind him. And that power was the church and the authority of the state, and they had united together. Amen? So he united both the forces of physical and spiritual together. And then Brother Branham went on to say, again in the fourth seal, he said, now he rides in a trinity. He said, this horse is a trinity, a power of a trinity, a crown of a trinity. He's a trinity. Even though there's four horses there, that fourth horse is actually all three of them wrapped up into one. Because these colors are all, it's a pale color, he said. And they're all wrapped up into one, red, white, black. Is that right? And Brother Branham said, just as the three things that make up a Christian as a son of God, there's three powers that make the devil who he is. The three things that make you a son of God is water, and it's blood, and it's spirit. Amen? He said, you can't be a son of God with just the water and the blood. Amen? Because if you have just the water and the blood but no spirit, there's no life. Amen? And many of us, we can accept the washing of the water. Amen? But you've got to go further than that. You've got to put it under the blood. And once you put it under the blood, don't go back and visit it again. And when I was studying this, I would have this dream. And in this dream, and I hope this is okay to go this direction, but in this dream, I would go and I would lay in my bed, and this very nice woman would come and lay next to me, and she would begin to ask me tell me about your past. And I said, well, no, but I can tell you about how the blood of Jesus covers me. And she said, no. Tell me about your past. And her demeanor began to change. She went from a nice to a very aggressive lady. And I said, no, but I can tell you about how the blood of Jesus covers me. And she said, no. Tell me about your weaknesses. And her claws started to grow. And her fangs started to grow. And I said, no, but I can tell you about how the blood of Jesus covers me. And she started to claw me. And she started to bite. And she started to say, tell me about your sicknesses. And I said, no, but I can tell you about how the blood of Jesus covers me. Amen. And then I woke up. And above me, there was a white ball of light. And I heard something say to me, fear not. Amen. And as I was drifting back to sleep, I realized something. That was a seducing spirit. And that seducing spirit was doing me no harm. And today, the devil is defeated. He can do you no harm. He can bluff, but he can do you no harm. He can show his fangs, but he can do you no harm. Because you are under the blood of Jesus. So we find here that there's three powers that make the devil. And that's political, that's religious, and that's demonic power. Amen? And Satan, he will leverage things in our life through insecurities and through sickness and through imaginations. And this carries a dual power. Amen? The physical issue itself and the spiritual impact. Amen? And some of you may currently be struggling with afflictions where Satan has put together multiple pieces to maintain this hold through power and through fear. And fear can paralyze. It can paralyze your faith, amen? Fear paralyzes a person's faith and takes away their spiritual stamina, amen? However, you should know that Satan is not the one you should fear, amen? Brother Branham said, and be not afraid. He said there's two elements that control the entire human race. One of them is fear, and the other is faith. He said, now it's either fear or faith that controls every nation, every denomination, and every individual. He said, you're either controlled by fear or faith. Amen? Amen? And in God testifying of his gifts, he said, so don't fear. He said, fear is of the devil. Everything Jesus would say, fear not, constantly, fear not, is that right? Always, fear not. Now, God don't want you to fear. Amen. He said he wants you to believe, sister. Amen. 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 So every one of you believe with one accord. One accord, every one of you. Amen. And the Bible would say in 1 John 4, 18 to 19, there's no fear in love. Amen. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Amen. Amen. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Fear has torment. It's not from God. So dismiss fear this evening. Dismiss it from the source. Dismiss the devil tonight. Don't acknowledge the devil. Don't consider the devil even for 1 second. Because he has nothing to offer you. Amen. Fear has no place in a believer's life. It comes from the enemy, and it's the church's job to defeat the enemy. Fear only came when Adam and Eve sinned. Amen? Before fear, there was harmony. When God found Adam hiding, he found him hiding in the fig leaves. And Adam would confess that he was afraid. Amen? This was the first appearance of fear. And it was born by sin's condemnation. Amen. And that's why Paul would tell the church in Romans 8 that for those in Christ who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh, he said, condemnation is gone. Amen? Right. And Paul is telling us of a life without fear and without condemnation. Amen? A life where faith only exists in your heart. Amen? Amen. Only a demonic source tonight can try to steal your Christian experience. And it's only a demonic source that can steal your Christian rest tonight. Amen? Amen? But this day, because of this illuminating message. We're resting in knowing that we're children of God. Amen? Amen. We're resting in knowing everything that He said He is doing, or we're seeing it done. Amen? Amen. It's being done right in front of our eyes tonight. So what's left to fear? Amen. Our theme song as message believers is Only Believe. Amen? Amen. 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 Satan is not the one we should stand in fear of today. Amen? No, but we should stand in fear of a holy God. And this is a different type of fear. It's a reverence of His Word. It's a respect. It's a love. Amen? For when His Spirit begins to move, you ought not to just look at that and say, that's just for them. You ought to say, God, if that's for me, if I am missing something, be it unto me according to Your will and Your presence and Your Word, because I fear Your presence. Amen? Satan's first deception was through the serpent. Amen? We believe that. The beauty and the smartness of the serpent, coupled with Satan's craftiness, that was a combination that Eve could not resist. He used what you could see, and he used what you could hear, and even took the word and he presented it to her, but he coupled it with beauty, and he coupled it with craftiness, and she could not overcome that. Amen? So we find that Satan's very power uses lies. And he uses symptoms. And he uses family history. Amen. Amen? And if you would look down through the history of the Scriptures, you would see just how much Satan uses these alliances, these three types of alliances, to come against God's people. Amen? Amen. Satan had the power of death over man and the question of immortality. Amen? And what happens beyond the grave. Amen? Are you with me? Man could not see past the veil of darkness. And if you would just read the story of Job and look at him, he's looking over his whole life. He's questioning, why am I here? You know why? You know why he was questioning? Because everything was taken from him. And it wasn't just one thing. It was an alliance. It was a combination. It was many things, one right after the next. He lost everything. Amen. Satan's combination, it wasn't only to take his business, and it wasn't only to take his livelihood, but he took his children from him. Amen. He took all of his children. All of his children died. Then after his children died, he lost his goods, and he lost his relationships. His wife would begin to turn on him and say, you might as well just curse God and die. His relationships failed. God allowed his relationships to fail. His relationships would try to turn him against God. Amen? To question his faith in God. And on top of everything, he lost his health. What do you think his spiritual condition was like that day? My God. And it made him question, why was he even born? Amen? He's kneeling there on that ash heap, And his wife bends down, and she would begin to whisper in his ear, just curse him. Uh-huh. And do you know what Job did? He said, you speak like a foolish woman. And then he fell down and he worshiped God. Amen. Amen? Amen? And now he did not understand what he was going through. And he didn't understand why he was going through it. But he knew that he had to worship God no matter what. Amen. Amen? Amen? And I want you to know tonight that you may not know what you're going through. You may not know why you went through the stuff that you went through. Amen? Amen? And the pain may be so great, and you don't know how to fight it. And you may be so weary that it's hard for you to stand. It might have been hard for you to drag yourself in these doors today. I don't know. I don't know your story, but I want you to know this. Don't ever give up. Amen. You always worship God. Amen. That is the greatest victory, brother. Amen. That's the greatest victory in God's eyes. Yes. Not necessarily the divine healing. We want that. We pray for that. We long for that. Those manifestations are amazing to a believer. Amen. But a man that could lose everything and stand up and say, I will still worship you, God. I'll never give up on you, God. I'll never turn my back on you, God. I'm part of this. I don't care how many disappointments come. I don't care if I lose my business, and I don't care if I lose everything that I've got. I will not lose my God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at Job's trouble. And I'll just read these scriptures for you. In Job 10, 20 to 22, he says, are my days not few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may comfort a little. Before I go whence where I shall not return, even unto the land of darkness and the shadow of death. This is a hopeless man right now. A land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. And if you go down a little bit, in Job 14, verse 7, he says, for there is a hope in of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud. Amen? I love that. I love that scripture. I've watched the tree. I've watched it wither down to nothing, till it's dead, all the way to the ground, yet at the scent of water, for the water's being poured out. Amen? And you may be also dead all the way to the ground, but at the scent of water. And I want to just declare today before everybody that this message is the water. That tender branch will not cease. Maybe you've got spiritual amnesia. Maybe you forgot who you were. Maybe you haven't quite come to the point where you've realized it yet. You thought, maybe I'm not even part of this thing. But I want you to know, you may be dead all the way to the ground, but the scent of water is here. It's coming into your nostrils just now. It jogs your memory. It jogs a memory that caused you to live for Him before. Amen? And I want you to know that you're going to sprout again. And you might ask me, well, how do you know this, Brother Nick? How are you so confident in saying this, Brother Nick? Because you were planted by God, not anybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 61, it would say, these are the plantings of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Amen. Think about that. These are the plantings of the Lord, that He might be glorified.
Amen?
Amen. If you're sitting here today and you're under the grips of Satan, and you don't know how to break free, I want you to know, amen, He said, fear not.
Amen.
Amen. I am He that was alive and was dead and liveth again.
Amen.
I took His keys of death and of hell.
Amen.
Amen. Satan does not have His keys. Satan cannot take you anywhere unless God first unlocks the door. I want you to hear this tonight. Satan cannot take you anywhere unless God first unlocks the door. Amen? Which means Satan is only serving God's purpose. Think about that tonight. There is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. The tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. And yet through the scent of water it will bud, and it will bring forth boughs like a plant. Amen? Can you imagine living completely without fear? What would it mean to truly live fearless tonight? That would be perfect faith. And watch this. God's prophet would say, give me someone walking in faith, living in faith. He said that person is already in a raptured condition. Amen?
Amen.
They're prepared, ready for the next steps. No more fear, just living in faith and truth. Amen? To think that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. What an encouraging thought tonight for a believer facing any demons or any sickness or any superstitions or any idolatry, life-threatening situations, whatever it may be. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Amen? Satan sends fear. And as a believer under the new covenant, amen, the scripture says these signs will follow believers. They'll cast out devils in my name. Amen? And I want you to know tonight that you have the authority. So fear not. Don't make room for fear tonight. Your duty as a believer is to cast out fear. To declare, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine tonight if every believer confessed that tonight. This building would overflow with faith's power, healing sickness and changing lives. If every believer did their part this evening. Amen. But fear has brought an imagination to the human soul. You're imagining you'll fall. You're imagining you'll fail. You're imagining you can't make it. Amen? And that lying devil tells you that though you're a Christian, you'll fail soon. Amen? You can't live this life. You won't make it. Look how other young people, look how other old people fell away. Look how they didn't make it. Look what the devil does, the fear he puts on you. Amen? But God sends this message to a believer. He says, I didn't put that fear in your heart. Amen? He said, fear not. So cast out your imaginations. Scripture says, cast down imaginations, everything exalting itself above God's word. Amen? Think about young David this evening. He was an afterthought of his family. He was an afterthought of his family when the prophet came to anoint him. Amen. He dealt with family rejection. He wasn't included. He wasn't even considered by his family as a candidate. And yet, he was anointed by a prophet. Amen. He was anointed to be a king. He was anointed to slay giants. And when there was a Goliath in the land, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And I asked myself, Brother Moore, why would that be significant that that prophet would write that down, that that giant would present himself morning and evening? And it's significant because believers in the morning and then the evening in that day would pray and they would recite scripture. This time of devotion was called the Shema, okay? And Shema means hear or listen. And the Shema was when the people would quote Deuteronomy 6:4-5. And that's, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. That's pretty important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's pretty important. They prayed these words every morning and every evening, kind of like a pledge of allegiance. And so we find this giant was a distraction during their time of devotion. Amen? It was a distraction during their time of devotion to the Lord, when they should be hearing and when they should be listening to the word. Amen? Amen. So he knew, that giant knew how to take the legs out from the believer. Amen? Amen? Distractions from the word leave room for imaginations and for fear to enter. Amen. But a little rejected boy, amen? Mm-hmm. Not included with the crowd, and he was on the backside of some pasture with some sheep. He was sanctified from that commotion. He had a dirty face. He probably came whistling a melody and spinning his slingshot nonchalant. That day, when he strolled up to the battlefield, he was sent there to deliver food to his brothers by his father. Amen. But what he found when he arrived was an entire army failed for fear. Amen? they were exactly in the condition that the giant wanted them in.
That's right. Yeah.
And you can imagine, they saw him and they asked him, "What's that in your hand, David?" And Brother Branham would actually say in the message, "What is it that in thy hand? What's that in thy hand, David?" He said, "It's a slingshot. How are you going to fight that giant out there with a 15 or 20 foot spear? You couldn't get near him." That's the point. That's the way to defeat that type of enemy. Amen. You keep your distance from that type of enemy. The enemy of distraction, the enemy keeping you out of the word,
Amen.
That enemy keeping you crippled by in fear. Amen. And little David, he would whip around the sling and crack the stone through the giant's skull. And I believe that Brother Branham said the stone even broke the sound barrier. Amen. And to think, when things were unstable in the land and when things were shaky, there was a rock of faith aimed at the enemy's head. And then his own sword was turned against him. Behead that giant tonight. Things might be a little shaky, but it's time to accelerate. Amen. And as I was studying this, I came across this man. His name was Chuck Yeager. And he was the first man to break the sound barrier in 1947. And it was in his plane called the Bell X-1 aircraft. And he was interviewed and he was asked what his motivation was. And he said, "Well, I was picked to fly it, so I did it." And that's pretty simple. He was commissioned to do it, so he did it.
Amen.
And he said what motivated him is he was flying it and he was going fast already. But the plane was shaking. And there was fear involved with that. And he realized in that moment, he had some choices. He could stay in that condition where things were shaky, and we'll just go ahead and we'll call that the Pentecostal speed. He could slow down, and things would stop shaking, but of course he wouldn't break into that next atmosphere. We'll go ahead and we'll call that the Baptist pace. Or he could push it full throttle, and he could go into an atmosphere that had never been breached before. And that's exactly what he did.
Amen.
He pushed past that instability.
Amen.
Regardless of the condition, he pushed past that instability.
Amen.
Regardless of the fear. Amen?
Amen.
And let me just say this today. It's no coincidence that William Branham's first recorded message is in 1947. And it's called "Faith is the Substance."
Right.
We had a prophet in our day that despite the instability in the world and despite the fear and the shakiness and the instability and the fear of breaking apart, he broke into that atmosphere, into that other dimension, because he was commissioned to. He was commissioned to, and he did it. So why would you fear today? Amen. And we may not have stones here today, but we have something else. Think how Paul tells us about his warfare in Ephesians 6. Amen. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, amen?
Amen,
and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, amen?
Amen?
So your warfare today isn't natural. It's spiritual, amen?
Right.
You must go to the spiritual realm and find your victory over the enemy, amen?
Amen?
And Paul said our weapons aren't carnal. This isn't a carnal battle, but a spiritual battle. He's saying he won't give you physical weapons, amen? Instead, Paul gave what's mighty for tearing down strongholds.
Amen.
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 And it's near you.
Yeah.
And it's in your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. What William Branham preached was what Paul preached.
Amen.
William Branham's message was Paul's message. Amen.
Amen.
The faith you received from Paul's message is now in your mouth.
Amen.
How do I know?
Amen.
Revelation 10, verse 9. The angel took the book, and what did he say? Eat it. And where did he say it would be? In your mouth. Amen? So our weapons of warfare rest in our mouth today. Amen? Thus saith the Lord lives on a believer's lips because God put his word in your mouth. Amen? You can slice away at the devil today. You can slice him with your confession. Amen? You can slice him with your belief. Amen? The devil tells you he'll take your children. He'll take your life. Slice his head off tonight, declaring Jesus Christ has promised me my children. Amen. He's promised me eternal life by the blood. Amen. Cut that devil up. Your confession can push the devil away. Amen. Now watch. Back in Ephesians 6, Paul shows us defenses. The helmet, the shod feet. That's defensive. But then Paul turns to the sword of the Spirit, which we know is God's Word. Amen? So Paul's saying we're not just wearing defensive armor to withstand the devil's attack. He's putting something in your hand, in your mouth, that you can use to drive back your attacking enemy. Amen? Take what's over your life today and cast it under your feet and remind the devil today, Satan, you're under my feet. Amen? We're not helpless as believers tonight. We're not harmless as believers tonight. We're Christ's bride with the sword of the Spirit. Amen? And we won't stop, and we won't be beaten, and we won't be driven back. Amen? We'll overcome through the Lord's Word. Amen? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? Casting down imaginations and throwing demons beneath our feet. Amen? Everyone here is commissioned to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hebrews 4:12 says, God's word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And the scripture said they overcame him in Revelation 12 by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. Destroy every stronghold. Amen. Depression and insecurity and complexes and anxiety. These are strongholds of the enemy. Amen. And it's amazing. We're taught that these things are connected together by fear. Amen. And David in his later years, if you remember, this is all through 1 Samuel 21, but I'm going to summarize it for time's sake. You remember that he ran for fear of Saul. And he came unto Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish would say unto him, is this not David? And they would remind him that they sing songs of him. Paul slew his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. But Achish saw this king, and he was drooling. He had spittle on his beard, and he was throwing himself down. And he said, this man's mad. He's an insane person. And so David, he would continue on. He'd act insane. And I want to just speak this today for a moment. Fear will make a king act insane. Amen. That's true. David falls for fear, and he would flee. Amen. And then he would eventually come to Ahimelech, the priest. And when he came to Ahimelech, the priest, he would begin to ask him, give me bread and give me weapons. I fled quickly because the king's business was hasty. So he actually lied to him. So he was lying and he was fearful and he was acting insane and he was just in a rough condition. Well, this priest would present him a sword behind an ephod. And if you remember that scripture, that sword behind the ephod was nothing other than the sword of Goliath. And when he saw that sword of Goliath, he would begin to remember the very sword that took the devil's head off the first time, would take it off again. And he began to wake up. Remember the victories and remember the triumph, amen? Restore back to me my position, overcoming complexes and overcoming fear, amen? This would put David in a position where he would then write the psalm, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Amen. Now watch this. As the prophet would address complexes. He would bring this very same scenario down to our level, down to where we are today. There were two Christian twin girls that would move into a city, and one of them would stay solid in their faith. No issues with the way they dressed or the hair, the way they wore their hair or anything like that, none of the issues. But the other one would get around schoolgirls, and then reasoning would enter her mind. And she would think, well, they go to church. They cut their hair this certain way. They dress this certain way. Why can't I? But this isn't about man's reasoning. It's not about fear of what other people think of you. Amen. It's about obedience to the word. Amen. Think about this. That girl got confused. Amen. She got caught between opinions. And what happened was she developed spiritual amnesia. We just read about that. We just talked about that in King David. Think about this. Fear can make a king act insane. She lost her identity. She built complexes. She ended up in an insane institution. And Brother Branham would say she didn't speak for 2 years. Her parents would come to him for help. And Brother Branham would visit her, and he said a vision would break, and thus saith the Lord would come, and thus saith the Lord would speak, she will be completely healed. And the little girl's mother would nudge the husband and would say, just think of it. Just think of it, Brother Moore. He's never been wrong. And within only a few hours, that same day, her parents called Brother Branham, and the girl had fully recovered after 2 years. Think of it. Think of it, sister. Never wrong. What else did he say? He said she'd be healed, and she was. What else did he say? There would be a bride that would break out of spiritual amnesia. He said that she is him. And he said that there would be a rapture. Amen? There would be a rapture. There would be a bride marching forth in this generation. Amen? And it's only fear you're fighting. Brother Branham said, fear in this hour. He says, watch. Fearful sights are everywhere. He said, fear everywhere. The Bible says men's hearts are failing for fear. But the message of the hour comes along, and the prophet's looking at the same thing that you're looking at. He's looking at fears, and he's looking at insecurities. He's looking at complexes. Think about it. He lost his child, and he lost his wife, and people talked bad about him. He had many friends, but really he didn't have any friends, if you understand what I'm saying there. But he had Jesus. Amen. Amen. And despite everything, he brought the message, shalom. Amen. He said, shalom to the church. He says, don't fear. Amen. Amen. He says, peace to the church. Amen. He said, the reason things are getting so bad, he said, because the light is pressing the darkness together. Amen. But we're not to fear what's happening. It's God bringing his mercy to the church. And the Apostle Paul could say, fear not. And Jesus could say, fear not. And Brother Branham could say, fear not, shalom. And I think of the psalmist David when he wrote in Psalms 23, I will fear no evil, amen. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, amen. And the prophet was speaking to the church, shalom, and fear not, because he was introducing something to the church. He was introducing that Christ is amongst you. Amen? Amen? It's not time to fear. This is not a fearful time. It's time to believe. Amen? Amen. 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 I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Amen? In Isaiah 43, the prophet Isaiah says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. Amen. Now, watch this. Back in Job 19, something is beginning to come to him. And it's a little bit different than what he was experiencing before. Before it was darkness, and before he was questioning. Amen? But now he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. He sees the Redeemer. And when he sees the Redeemer, it causes him to see himself. Amen? He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen? That's different than what he said earlier. Earlier, it's a land of darkness. Earlier, I don't know what happens after death. But now he says, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen? So he's been given hope for a resurrection. He's been given a revelation. Amen? And if you look at Job 30, and then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What a rebuke. My, Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and thou will answer me. Where were you? He's giving him a message there about the mind of God. Now as I plow through this pool, because I want you to get this tonight if you haven't, pray for this revelation. It's powerful. Where were you when I laid the foundation? You're worried about what's after, and this message is here to tell you about what's before. For what's before is your answer to what's after. Amen? Amen. And I hope you understand that our message that came was not a message of after. It was a message of beginnings. Amen? Amen. It was a message of what was in the mind of God. Amen? Amen. In fact, a prophet stood on the platform and said, I want to preach to you what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And we're going to see by God's help as he unfolded it all the way down into this present time we're living in. Amen? Think about it. Think about it, church. All the way before time began. Fear didn't exist. Don't worry about what's after death. Let's find out where you were before death ever was. Amen?
Amen.
He said, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Do you understand this language that's been given to us in this message? I'm predestined. I was with God, amen, before the foundation of the world. Where were you? Amen. Job just said, I don't know, because it was all darkness to him. But this message brought light unto you. These are precious things in the eyes of God. Amen? And think about what he's saying. God's asking you a question this evening. Declare if you have understanding. Where were you? And if you understand where you were, it'll change your whole life. Amen? It'll change your whole approach to this enemy. Amen? For the Bible says, don't fear Satan, fear God. Amen? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Amen. Amen. God was answering Job's question by causing him to look at who he was before the darkness.
Amen.
Amen. The fear of death and hell held billions in bondage to the unknown. The fear of seeing themselves walk down the same path that others have walked down for years and years with the same symptoms. That's been Satan's triumph over man. Fear. Amen? Amen. But when Jesus took those keys from Satan, he lost his power over the people. All the superstitions were replaced with faith in a risen Savior. Amen? Listen to this. If Satan holds the keys of death, he's telling the people they're hid from the secrets of immortality. Think about that. They don't know what immortality is. But now Paul comes along after Jesus rose, and he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Amen? And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? My, my. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? And this is why Brother Branham said, when Paul is being brought out to the chopping block and he lays his head down, and you know, death should be a fearful thing to people. Amen? But he wasn't fearful. At the chopping block, he looked at that old place, and Brother Branham said in the message, the angel of the Lord, he said that the grave told Paul, I'm going to hold your body. But Paul said, you're trying to scare me, but you can't scare me. Grave, where is your victory?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're the winner.
Amen.
Satan is defeated throughout the Bible. You understand tonight that every one of the stories in the Bible started out with certain defeats, staring the people in the face. Amen? And you're no different than anybody else in the Bible. The only thing that's changed is the names and the faces that sit here today. Amen? But it's still the same devil. The difference is he's lost his keys. There he had his keys. Here he has no keys. Amen? The enemy cannot touch you. Amen? You've come into the world to drive back this enemy. And we're not here to be destroyed. We're not here to fall. We're not here to be failures. Amen? Fear is a liar. Amen? We're here to fulfill this word of the hour. Amen? This bride is not going backwards in retreat. We're pressing forward, pressing into the promises of God. The Holy Ghost has a message for the believer today. Speak the word and press forward. Amen? Press forward over the enemy, over your sickness, over your anxiety, over your complexes, over your fears. Amen? You're to speak the word and step. Amen? Like in the time of Joshua, when they came to the River Jordan, if you remember, the high priest would put his foot in the water. Amen? There was no way until he made the first step. Then God made the opening. Somebody had to take the first step in faith. Amen? Fear not. It is I. The Lord has come amongst us. And he's here to deliver. And he's here to give power. When this word begins to mean more to you than life and death, this word becomes majesty to you. This word becomes a declaration of independence to you. This word has prepared a table before your enemies this evening. He anointeth me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Where were you? Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? Amen. When the morning stars sang. Where God is are shouts of victory, songs of praise, songs of testimony. Trophies in the house of God are the testimonies of the saints of God. Amen. But notice, these testimonies came from the devil, came from the enemy. Think about that. But he's lost his keys. He's lost his victory. He's lost his power over you. We have to remember that this evening. Why do you think Brother Branham said, in Christ is the mystery, why is the devil howling? He said, but I'm talking about the headship of Christ. He said, notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question tonight. We have the answer to the devil's question. He said, Christ is risen. Amen? He's paid the price. Amen? And the devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. He said, that's the reason they're all coming into what they're doing now. He said, that's why the devil's howling tonight the way he is. That's why he's walking around the way he is. He's been uncovered by a resurrected Christ with the headship over his body. So do you know why he's howling? He sees the light of immortality coming over the horizon. The devil is going to see a resurrection. Amen? That's why the devil's howling tonight. Saints of old will be walking over the hills, walking through these doors, lifting their hands in defiance to the enemy. Amen. The executioner is going to have to stand face to face with those who he's offended. Amen? My, my. But in case some of you are still a little worried, in case that's not enough, in case you still don't know you really have the victory, let me show you what he showed us and type and shadow. Amen? Remember, there's a man called Gideon. And Gideon, he was fearful. Amen? He was fearful and he was scared. And when he was trying to get anything from God, he was hiding behind the wine press because of the power of the enemy. Amen? He was a man told by an angel in Judges 6:23, do not fear. And yet he was still afraid to face the enemy. Amen? The oppression of the enemy was everywhere. So he hid to try to get his blessings. He was one of those believers that snuck in, snuck out real quick, Amen? But the Lord appeared to him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. And he said, Lord, I'm the least in my household. How could I? He said, you're a mighty man of valor. Amen? He said, I've called you and raised you up to deliver Israel from the hands of these powers. Amen? And there were three powers. Amen? There were Midianites, there were Amalekites, and there were children of the east. And the Bible said they come without number, and they ate up the grass, and they drove out people from their homes until they lived in dens and caves. Amen? And in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, it says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. So this is what God's already promised him. He said, just go attack them. You have the victory. Amen? But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say afterwards. And thy hand shall be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, and outside of the, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So, to summarize that, I know I stuttered a little bit. Gideon, if you're afraid to attack, just go down and listen to the enemy. Amen? Just hear what they're saying about you, and then you'll get your confidence. Amen? And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. And their camels were without number, and as the sand, and by the sea was a multitude. And Gideon arrived just as a man. So what that's saying is there was a lot of them, and there was one of him. And so Gideon, he's now in that camp, and he's eavesdropping, and he's listening to this enemy. And the enemy said to another man, he was telling his friend a dream. Amen? We remember this story. And he was saying, I had a dream that a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. Amen? And it struck the tent with such a force that the tent was overturned and it collapsed. And his friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon. Amen? And now Gideon is facing an enemy that they say is about 250,000 troops. And he begins himself with 32,000 troops. So he's got a minute, small, tiny, 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 tiny chance as is. 250,000 versus 30,000 is not great odds. And one day, 22,000 people from that army, they decide they don't want the fight. They really do not want to fight 250,000 people. So he's down to a much smaller number. And then the number of about 10,000, 9,700 walk away. They're all idol worshipers, and they're all fearful, amen? So he's left with 300. We remember the story. I'm going over this quick because I know we know these scriptures. And now, normally, being left with 300 versus 250,000 is a really bad day. So there's no chance, no possibility that 300 can take on 250,000. In fact, that is terrifying odds. And so God gives Gideon some advice, and he said, go listen to what the enemy is saying. Now, look at this. He didn't send him to an apostle or a prophet or give him another angelic visitation. He had those experiences. He knew what the scriptures said about the victories of Joshua and about all the others before him, but he still doubted. He was still fearful. Amen? So God said, okay, I want you to hear what your enemy is saying. I want you to hear what your enemy is saying about you, and then you'll get some confidence about you. Amen? So know this. The enemy thinks about us and has conversations about us and has nightmares about us. Amen? And a son of God who knows who they are is hell's nightmare. Amen? And if you remember the story in Portland, Oregon, where Brother Branham, he was preaching, and that demon-possessed man would rush the stage, and Brother Branham would say to him that because you have challenged the Son of God, you'll be at my feet. And that's where that man stayed, amen? Because the devil knows he can identify who the children of God are. But the devil is a bluff. He's helpless, he's trying to scare you, and he's a toothless lion, amen? So watch this. Gideon overhears this enemy. He overhears the dream that they're having, the nightmares about him. And Gideon begins to realize that he underestimates the threat that he really is. Amen. He underestimates how the enemy sees him. Amen. And God's people underestimate who we are. Amen. We underestimate the threat we are as the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to be encouraged by God and by angels and apostles and prophets and by a group of wonderful people that stand behind you in battle, but it's a whole other level to be encouraged by your enemy. Amen. But we know what the enemy really thinks about you. To realize tonight that the boasts of the enemy were a bluff all along. Gideon discovered that all of hell was having nightmares about him. The enemy is having nightmares that you'll realize who you are. Amen. God told Gideon, you have no idea how powerful you are. And what's his response? I'm the least in my father's house. And my father's house is the least in all of Israel. Amen. There's no way I can do what you're asking me to do. Why don't you just go down and listen to what your enemy is saying about you? So let's recognize something right now. There is God's view, there is your view, and then there is the enemy's view. Amen? There is your view, there is God's view, and then there is the enemy's view. God's view. Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Gideon's view. I am the least in my father's house. The enemy's view. There is a loaf of bread that is a sword, and it's coming to kill us. They're shaking in their boots. Amen. They're trembling. They are terrified. Amen. All throughout Scripture, you see the difference in this view. You see a little child in a manger. And God's view is this is the seed. His heel will crush the enemy's head. He will end up taking back the keys of death and of hell. Amen? Earth's view. Don't give him a room. Throw him in a barn. Most miss it right in front of them. Amen? The enemy's view. Herod says, kill all the male children under the age of 3. They say the Messiah is here and my kingdom is coming down. Amen? That's why we come to hear this message. We come to consume this bread. We need this sustenance. And this bread speaks of the word of God. Amen. Hell, the enemy, hell sees an army being trained every time this message is spoken. Amen. Hell knows that principalities and powers and rulers of darkness are being disarmed as this message goes forth. Amen. Hell sees Goliath's head being cut off. Amen. Hell sees Job realizing that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And the Scripture says, the enemy was like locusts, that the camels outnumbers the sand of the seashore. The camels. Why would you need 250,000 troops with that kind of weaponry for 300 men? It's because the enemy knows that God said he's mighty. Amen? And the enemy knows that if God has called you mighty, it has everything to fear, no matter what the odds are. Amen? So take a trip with me for a moment, and let's go to the enemy's camp and listen to what he's saying today. What's the level of attack on your life this evening? What's been the level of attack on your life? 250,000 demons? Let me ask you a question. Why the sickness? Why the rejection? Why the abandonment? Why the abuse? Why the drug habits? Why the heartbreak? Why the loneliness? Why the discouragement? Why? Why the depression? Why being eaten up with worry? Amen. Why the sense of always feeling like you're failing? Amen. That you're just a failure. Why the constant attack of the enemy? Every time you try to rise, the enemy's there to hit you this way or to hit you that way. All of hell is attacking this bride of Jesus Christ. And all of hell is attacking this message of the hour. That lets you know how the enemy sees you. He's not launching that kind of attack against somebody that's not a threat. Amen. But because he knows that God has said that you're mighty, Amen. He knows that God is with you. He's going to do great things through you. Amen. The devil's attack is of an equal amount to the calling on your life. Amen. And that bread is a life flow to us, but it's a death blow to the enemy right now. And you want to know the real condition of your enemy, brother? Let's read Colossians 2:15. The Bible says that he was disarmed. And it says there was a public spectacle made of him, and he was put to open shame. Amen? So not only did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ go and disarm this devil of his keys of death and of hell and of the grave, and he stripped him down. But according to this ancient warfare that Paul was referring to there in Colossians, when one army took over another army, they would strip the king down of his royal garments, and they would take the throne, and they would take his weaponry, and they would chain him to the other soldiers. And they wouldn't leave him on the battlefield to die, but the absolute best case scenario, he would actually live for a time. And they would bring him to the city square, amen, of that conquering kingdom. And the people would gather, and there would be a great celebration. There would be a parade. And they would march the enemy around the town, stripped down to nothing. They would march him around, not only disarmed, but in that moment to make a public spectacle of him. A public spectacle of the defeat that he had just faced. Putting that king to open shame. And letting the people know that that threat that was conquering you all those years is gone forever. That threat is over. That threat is defeated. And the Bible says that one day we'll look upon that Satan who caused all of this pain, and we'll say, that's the little puny one that did all these things, and that's the one that we allowed so much heartache in our life. Right. Now, I want to say something to you, sister. A public spectacle today is when a sister, a brother, somebody receives a horrible report from the doctor, and instead of wowsy, wowsy, woos, they throw their hands up in defiance of that devil. When somebody is delivered from drugs and alcohol, and pulled out of the gutters of the world and pulled out of hell. And when depression is defeated and when anxiety is defeated. And you can stand in the face of your enemy and throw your hands up. That's a public spectacle. Amen. And Gideon heard what his enemy was saying, and before he was afraid. Amen. But then he was told, grab your lamps. And his instruction was to break the lamps and shout. Break what's over your life and shout. Amen. The instructions became clear. Break the things over your life and shout. That's how the victory is won. Shine and shout. The word of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. So the enemy ran and fled because Gideon began to have a revelation of God's sword. Amen. This is the sword of Gideon. And who was having those dreams? The enemy was having those dreams. And who was giving the interpretation? The enemy was giving the interpretation. Amen? It's the enemy telling you that the bride has won the fight. And I want you to know the enemy is not here to win the battle tonight. He knows it's his time. That's what he told Jesus when he approached him. Have you come to torment us before our time? He knows that he has a time. Amen? The enemy knows he cannot hold your children, and he knows he cannot keep you down. He knows that you have prayed, and the Lord has heard your prayer. Amen. Amen. It's over for the enemy. And I wonder how many nightmares the enemy is having tonight. Not of a loaf of bread, but of a bride of Jesus Christ rising up. And he is backing up because he sees the same look in your eyes that he saw in a risen Savior as he came out of the grave and began to march forward. Amen. He's backing up at the one who said, I'm alive and I live forevermore. Amen. Amen. Put fear back in the enemy's camp tonight. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, fear not. I have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Amen. And Jesus handed you the same keys. Amen. 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 Let's stand our feet. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. As the musicians come, I've got one more little story. If any of you are history buffs, you know a little bit maybe about Napoleon. Napoleon Bonaparte. He was a great conqueror. And they actually threw that man into exile because they didn't want him to die and be a martyr. And they took his generals and they threw him into exile with him. And one day, the story goes that he laid his map out and boastfully he was reviewing it with his generals and he was going over all the areas he conquered. This area here, I remember, I made them run in fear. I stole all their gold. I made them miserable. This place is up in smoke. This place here, oh, you don't even want to know the story here. One of the generals interrupted him and said, well, what about that place? There's a big red X. Said, he's quoted in saying, sirs, if it were not for that one red X, I would have conquered the world. And I just imagine today that the devil, being in exile, standing there with his generals, reviewing his game plan, saying, that person I got, this person, oh yeah, they fell to depression. This person over here, yeah, stole everything from them. Well, what about that red X there? Oh, that is the bride of Jesus Christ. And Calvary sealed them. That red X is your Waterloo today. Amen. Your enemy is defeated. And I declare to you today, fear not. Fear not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, brother, if you got a song.
Ever been just so beside yourself and so depressed and so hurt, and then somebody like your dad or mom come up to you and say, just rest, fear not, don't worry, it's gonna be all right. But the devil will say, worry, fear, you know, you're really aching, you know. But if you're a Christian, then Satan's cruising for a bruising because you're not gonna stand for it. You're not gonna stand for it. It's amazing how you titled that, Fear Not. Fear Not, that's the message. Fear not. And I was thinking, Satan comes to your doorstep and he throws fear. Well, what do you do? What's your guard? It's faith. It's faith. And it's weird, I wrote this down yesterday. Faith. Fear ain't in this house. Fear ain't in this house. I know probably a Southern guy probably wrote that. Fear ain't in this house. But where's the house? It's this. It's where Christ dwells. So Satan, you're not welcome. Fear, you're not welcome. Depression, you're not welcome. I've talked to a lot of preachers that have these big prayer lines all around the world, the main thing that people line up for to be prayed for is depression. Depression. We have nothing to be depressed about. You know, we're that loaf of bread. You know, a loaf of bread can be dangerous to the enemy, but it can be life. It can be life to the bride. You know, so fear not. Rest. Why? Because all is well. But if you haven't heard the message, Shalom, wow. Yeah. That's what Shalom brings us here into this theater. Where does it take the world? My. But remember, there is a place, and that's where you need to be. Yeah, Brother Schuyler, I had that written down to lay hands on Brother Nate. He's going to be taking a trip, and I know it worries me to come stand up here a few minutes, but to go get on an airplane and to fly somewhere maybe where you've never been, have you? Never been. Well, I tell you, I wished I... Yeah, yes. Yeah, Verveen, yes, yes. Is he going to see you there? Okay. Well, at least you got one friend over there. Well, I'm going to say, but if one can chase off 1,000, at least you got Brother Ruby. So, but anyway, did you enjoy it tonight? Amen. Did you hear? Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is number 5. You're 5. 5 babies. Yeah, his wife's been pregnant ever since I'd met you guys, I think. Yeah, so, but he got his boy this time, you know, and so now we're going to find out what's next, you know. But we really appreciated that. You know, gifts and callings are without repentance. And could you imagine a preacher get up here with a gift to preach, but he don't have repentance? He just have a gift. And like you take that, almost be like a hybrid preacher. He would look like a real preacher, sound like a real preacher, but there wouldn't be life there. And they say scientists can take hybrid corn and regular corn, and they can put it under a microscope. They can't find one difference. It looks exactly the same. But when you plant it, one has a germ of life and the other don't. So you take the bride, we might look like the world at times, but there's a light that's on inside us, a germ of God that's in us. Wow, wonderful. Yeah, Brother Nate, we're going to have you come up, and we're going to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. And Brother Nick, if you would come up, Brother Jeremiah. If any of you have heard of Brother Perry Green, okay. And if you haven't heard his testimony, get on Google. Brother Perry Green's testimony, part 1 and 2. You'll just be, it'll just bless you. But he traveled around the world all the time. He flew, you talk about millions of miles of flight. And he always said, when I got on an airplane, there's always an empty seat next to me. And he said, potentially, there would be a seed of God sit there, mm-hmm. and he would witness to them. And so that's going to be my prayer for you, brother, Amen. That whoever Amen. Sits next to you, they're going to be sitting have by fine gold. They're going to have a long ride. Yeah. But anyway, we're just going to pray that God would just use you in a mighty way.
Heavenly Father.
Lord Jesus God. Lord, you've led Brother Nate all the way to this point, God. Lord, continue to lead and guide him, Lord. Lord, let these people that hear him preach, Lord, let it be a life-changing experience for them, God. Lord, bless our brother. Keep him safe, Lord. And Lord, let that light just shine about him, Lord, that people might see God. Lord, let people be praying, Lord, for what they need, God. And let, Lord, you speak through Brother Nate, Lord, and answer all those questions. Lord, let there be souls saved. Let there be understanding, Lord, be revealed. Let people have a revelation, Lord, from his message, God. Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. And we love you, Lord. Thank you, God, for showing up tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Lord be with you. Yes. I know you.
Let's sing that song, I Keep Falling in Love with Him.
Will I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again? I just keep falling in love with Him.
Between my Lord and I keep falling in love over and over and over and over again. For I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. For He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Amen.
Okay. Does anybody need prayer? You know, He is a healer. The word goes forth. His faith is raised. It's high. Somebody needs a prayer, needs anything from God, just step on up. Brother Nick said he's here. Brother Nick, here's a sister here. Amen. She wants prayer. And God knows what she needs. You want me to be seated just for a minute? And, oh, you got another brother here, Brother Nick. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for just a minute. I'm not going to keep you long. I just almost want to not keep you till. Don't want to go because this is my last service. I won't see y'all again for. Well, I won't get back in until the 27th. But I really appreciated that message tonight, Brother Nick. You know, I was sitting there because you're going out of the country and you don't know what the people need. God knows you don't. I don't have a clue. You can't really even study because I don't take a bunch of. I'll take some messages that we've preached here, some notes and things. But I was sitting there and I told God the other day, I said, Lord, I have no clue. No clue of what I'm going to preach over there. He knows. And tonight he's saying, fear not. Don't worry about it. Take no thought. He's told us, take no thought. And, you know, usually whatever you study, you don't preach anyway. So I'll go believe in God and I'll do what God wants us to do. And Brother Praveen said, he texted me the other day and I texted him, I said, are you coming the first week or the second week or what is your plan? Are you going to come at all? And he said, I'd like to come. He said, I'd almost like to come the whole time if you'd let me. I said, yes. And for a moment there, I forgot he was married. I said, you can just stay in our room. We'll just stay with us. And then he said something about both. And I said, oh, that's right. You're married. I forgot. You and your wife, we gave him the hotel information so he can get his place. And so he's playing. He said he's got video equipment that he can record the services and put them on our website because, you know, he has access to get on our website and do whatever he wants. So he may put some services on there, and so it's going to be good to see Brother Praveen again. We miss him a lot, but he has things to do there, and this is obviously one of them. He has to take care of us in India, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. I won't be here Sunday morning because my flight leaves, according to the schedule that is we have right now, 11 o'clock in the morning. So when y'all are getting ready, matter of fact, Clarissa will drop me off before church time. So just keep us in your prayers. And I really enjoyed that message tonight because, you know, what I really love about it, don't worry about what you see in front of you. If you know where you come from, you know what's behind you. And I come from God, so I'm going to God. So if you know where you come from, don't worry about these little bitty steps down here. You don't have to fear what comes your way. So come on, Brother Covey, let's go. He's like, by faith, that's where I'm going by. But the thing is, he's so right. We get caught up in this world and circumstances and what the doctor says and what people say and what people think and what other people think, and God has never wanted us to fear. His fear is in reverence. His fear is not in scaring you. His fear is in reverencing, so that you know you're standing in front of God. That's a reverence. Satan always tries fear. God always tries to take the fear off. Every time the angel will come, first thing you say, fear not. Come to the shepherds out in the field, fear not. Come to Mary, fear not. You know, come to Moses, fear not. You know, every time he wanted to settle you down so that you can hear the word that he's bringing, because that's the thing that's going to help us through. So I really enjoyed this message tonight. And if God, talk to me and said, don't fear this thing. Don't fear people. Don't fear none of it. Go believe in God, trusting him. And he will do. I never would have dreamed that a little boy born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, would be going around the world preaching in other countries. I never thought I'd even leave Dayton. But God knows what he's doing. I don't. I just, you know, all you can do is present the body. That's your reasonable service. And that's whether you go across the seas or go across the street. So don't look at me and say it's something I got to do. You got to present your body too. They need you at Kroger's. They need you at work. They need you at home. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. And don't fear, but step out believing God. And God will take care of the details. When God got finished with Gideon, God narrowed it down so much, he made it impossible. He said, I don't even want you to have enough to look like you could win. He said, I'll take it all the way down so that when it's all said and done, they'll know it's God. And when people run across you, don't fear anything but stand up as a son or daughter of God. And when they look and they see what God does through you, they'll have to take note it was him. So that's how that works. So God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. Thank you, Brother Covey, Brother Nick, for coming. And I don't know, you came without him at first, and I thought, oh, is Covey preaching? I was going to, if he wasn't here, you know who's next on the docket. We don't care. Somebody's going to preach to us. And so glad you all made it, and your daughter and your family and your friend come. And it's good to have you here. And don't forget, come Sunday morning, we're going to have a guest speaker. Jeremiah Allen, I guess. I don't know what their plan is. I guess he's Sunday. I don't know. I ain't worried about it. There's one of the brothers to take care of it. If not, we got deacons. I always tell them they have to teach. We got teachers in the house. We got deacons in the house. So y'all are not going to be starved while I'm away. This isn't the kind of church where if the pastor's gone, everybody stays home. The pastor was sick last Sunday, and they had a good time because I was watching y'all on the internet. You know, it was amazing. Let me tell you how amazing this was. I'm going to tell it, Jeremiah. I got it in my mind. I called Jeremiah because I was trying my best to get here. I knew this was my last message last Sunday, and I was trying my best to get here. And Sunday morning, I woke up, and I just thought, it ain't happening. So I texted Jeremiah, 7 o'clock or so. Said, well, it's yours. I'm not going to be here today. He said, what was your title? A little bit later, said, what was your title? And I told him my title, but I didn't tell him nothing else. I kid you not. He read my quotes. He read my scriptures. He preached right out. I got the notes right in my book. I was going to give them to Jeremiah to show him how it was right in line with what I had already studied and was planning on preaching but couldn't. Even took the chapter and read where I was going to read my chapter and verse. So I thought, that is God. That's God. God's got a way. God had a message he wanted to get to the congregation, and he don't care what vessel he uses. Somebody's going to bring it. When God has a message, he's going to bring it. So I'm going to give Jeremiah those notes because I wanted to see how he was just right down. I laid there and I thought, Lord, have mercy. He don't even know. He didn't even know my scriptures, but he had them. And he still don't know. And I got him right on that. I'm going to give them to him. I thought he was right there in the same channel. Shows you God has a real oneness in the body. And when he wants to preach something, he's going to get it out. He wanted me to leave this country and not fear. I don't even know if he knew I was leaving the country. He said, no, he didn't. And God's like, don't fear this. Don't fear nothing. Just go out there. I don't even know who I'm going to be talking to. I may be talking to Trinitarians. I may be talking to one God people. I may be talking to message people and all different levels. Who knows? I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, I've never, out of all the years I've gone overseas and preached anywhere around the world, anywhere I've gone, and especially when we have ministers' meetings, they have never asked a question that God didn't give me an answer to. Amen. And I'm talking Philippines, Africa. I preached over in Africa, and I had a question and answer. I had like, 150, 200 ministers sitting in there. There's a bunch of them, room full. And it was, and Brother Peter Okeo was there. And at the time, I didn't know him. I don't even know if I knew him. But he was at that meeting. And they got the questions. They put them in a basket for us to answer. So I got the questions on the pulpit. And the first question was about marriage and divorce and polygamy. And God spoke to me standing right there, right then, and says, if you don't just take the time and preach this, you'll never get through this question and answer. So I preached on polygamy and marriage and divorce in Africa. And first thing I said was, you know, we don't practice polygamy in America. And a voice out in the audience, one of the ministers said, but we do here. That was the start. And it was an hour and a half to 2 hours later, I brought everything Brother Branham brought about polygamy, marriage, divorce, balanced the thing out and everything else. To this day, anytime Brother Peter O'Kale sees me, he says that was the most balanced message on polygamy and marriage divorce I've ever heard in this message. And it was God, because you're sitting in the middle of all kinds of marital situations, and you have to have the answers. You can't just tell them, I don't know, or I'm going to just go home and pray about it. No, no, you're here. You're in the front of it. And I'm talking to many ministers. So God has never failed to come through. Did it in Mindanao. Had 100 ministers in Mindanao. Had question and answers and all kind of things. And you don't have time to go get quote books. You just got to trust God. And God delivers. And so I'm not going in fear that I don't know what I have. I know what I have. I know what I'm taking. But I just pray that when I get there, the people that I talk to and work with will be people that I can help. That's all I go to do. I don't go to try to put revelation on people. I tell them, I'm just here to help. I'm just sharing my knowledge of the mystery. If it helps you, fine. If it doesn't help you, don't worry about it. I ain't sending you to hell. If it doesn't help you, don't worry about it. Just let me out of here in one piece. So I get home. So you just pray for me while I'm gone. And we will see you, Lord willing, after the 27th. And I'm really excited about Jeremiah and Jay going to San Diego. Sort of jealous, but not. I'm trying not to be, because they're going out to see my friend, Brother Rosaldo. And now that he's gotten himself back on his feet again, Jay and Jeremiah want to go and have a good time with him. So that's okay. So you pray for them, because that's going to be a good trip too. So they get to. Is this the first time you two have gone together?
Yeah.
By yourself? It's outside of going to. New Mexico. Did he go with you? Okay, he's been to. Well, they're going to have a good time. So, I'm glad for them. You keep us in your prayers, and good to have y'all come back. Come back anytime. I got an answer for you for your problem. The problem is you come every 9 months. You need to come sooner. It would be impossible. If you come like once a month, that'll break that. I meant to tell you that'll break that cycle to just come once a month, and that won't be a problem anymore. So you're welcome to come back anytime, brother. You know you're always welcome.
Amen.
Appreciate you bringing him. And he never tells me who he's bringing with him, and it's always like a present. You know, they ask me, they say, who's he bringing? I said, I don't know. So I just wait to see, because it doesn't matter. Whoever's going to get up here is going to preach to us. Because, see, the thing I understand, it's not the vessel. All you do is get up here, present the vessel, and God takes over, and God speaks to us. The voice is the same no matter who stands up here. So we're not picky eaters around here. You get up here, you're going to serve. So come back next month. And we'll be glad to have you. Come on, let's stand. He abides. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Come back Sunday, and I'll be praying for you all, and you all pray for me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason
reason of my bliss. Yes, the secret of all is that the Comforter abides.